Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
صلاه
وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله viewers of Madrasa, we're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The blessing that we have today is, it is stated, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala stated that your dua, your prayers remain suspended between the heavens and the earth, and nothing from it ascends until you send salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam.
Sallallahu
ta'ala. Viewers of Manisha, no doubt, those devotees of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam who make it a habit of sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether they are standing, sitting, walking, you know, just before they're going to sleep, whatever they're doing, if they make a habit of sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then without doubt they will be the successful ones, not only in this dunya but in the hereafter as well. And one of the reasons that the intention in giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak is that we all become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak, and these blessings, if you can remember them and pass them on to others as well, so that other people can benefit as well. And I pray that that day comes, that the Muslims all around the world become true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and continuously we are sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madhi channel, just as Islam came and it purified us from disbelief, and it gave us belief, it gave us iman, it purified human beings from the darkness of disbelief. But in the same way, it is elevators in purifying our bodies as well, purifying our surroundings as well, purifying and cleaning everything that we touch as well. So this has become part of our iman as well, to not only be pure inside, but to be clean outside as well, and to have clean surroundings outside as well. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the importance of cleanliness. I know it's not a topic that normally is discussed, but inshallah, I'm hoping that if you listen to this thoroughly, inshallah, please stay tuned with us. Hopefully we'll learn something. But when you're listening to today's speech, inshallah, listen to some of the points, not just so that they are good stories or events that took place, but try and learn from them. Try and make a change inside our own lives so that we can have a better life. With regards to this, there are three sayings I'm going to give you of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that cleanliness is half of iman. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, Islam is a pure and clean religion. Whereas in another narration, it states, Allah azza wa jalla has kept the foundation of Islam upon cleanliness. So you should also acquire purity, for only the one who is pure and clean, both inwardly and outwardly, will enter paradise. So nowadays, a lot of people, when they talk about the ills of our hearts, the ills of our inside, the dirtiness inside us, but at the same time, outside us. And we're told here in this particular hadith that those people will enter paradise who are both pure and clean internally as well as outwardly. They will be the people that enter paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, keep the clothes that you wear clean and look after your rides, i.e. your transport, and your outward appearance should also be clean, so that when you go amongst the people, they honor you and respect you. Allahu Akbar. Allama Abdurrauf Munawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated that this hadith indicates to the fact that one should avoid all such things that people show dislike and disdain towards. The people of authority and the scholars should especially avoid them. As Muslims, we have heard this many, many times, that as Muslims, we are, all of us are preachers. We are all representatives of the deen. You know, you might not see it, viewers on the channel, but on your forehead it says Muslim. Yeah, you can't see it. Yeah, but when people look at us, we are representatives of the deen. We are the ambassadors of Islam. So if we are dirty, if we're not, you know, nice to look at, and we are wearing disheveled clothes, people aren't going to come close to us. So this is why it emphasizes not only for our own personal benefit, but also the benefit of spreading the deen as well. And we need to remember, viewers of Manichan, that when a child comes into this world, it is covered in blood. And straight away, cleanliness becomes attached to him. And straight away after birth, we try and wash that baby. Then from that age, up until the age of understanding, the child is cleaned by who? The parents clean that child. It is the parents' responsibility to make sure that that child is clean. When that child becomes an age of understanding, then it becomes the responsibility of the child themselves to make sure that they are outwardly clean, to make sure that they perform the wuzu, they perform the ghusl, they wear the clean clothes. And then at the same time, viewers of Malaysia, that when we come to that time in our life, where we're going to enter that dark and lonely grave on our own, at that time as well, the deceased should also be bathed as well. The deceased is washed. The deceased is washed in clean clothes. The deceased is put ithr on, perfume on them before they're buried in the grave. And so our iman puts a lot of emphasis on ensuring that we are clean outwardly as well. But at the same time, our deen also tells us about keeping our surroundings clean as well. Our clothes, our bedding, our shoes, our socks, and all these sort of things, whatever we have, this should all be clean as well. However, viewers of the channel, even within the Muslim community, there are people that do not put any emphasis on hygiene, on personal hygiene, on hygiene around them, on cleanliness around them. They don't care. And they just live day by day, and they're literally living in dirt. And people stay away from them sort of people. And again, that is a message for us. Why do people stay away from these people? Because they're in that state. However, if a person is clean himself and his surrounding environment is also clean, then this can also prove to be very beneficial for him. Both physically and mentally, he will have a better mental health as well. It is stated that those people that, if their surroundings are clean, if the surroundings are nice, then it can have an impact on their mental health. But if they're living in a place where there's foul smell and there's dirt here and there, then that also can have an impact on the mental health. So the outward, what is outside, can impact on your mental health and on your inside as well. Moreover, we should also remember that don't we as individuals like clean people? Aren't we attracted to those people that look nice? Aren't we attracted to those people that wear nice clothes? Aren't we attracted to those people who wear nice perfumes, nice ithar as well? Yes, of course we are. And it's stated that everything inclines towards its own kind. If you keep yourself clean, then you'll be inclined towards those people that are clean as well. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that once a crow and a pigeon became friends. And when a person observed this, he began to think to himself that this is a match. The pigeon and a crow, they are different. Why are they so close to each other? And after pondering, he came to realize that the pigeon was lame, and the crow was also lame, that both of them could not walk. And they had this common thing between them, and that's how they became friends. And if you look in this world, viewers and child, you become friends with people that have common interests with you. If you're into, let's say, you're into committing certain types of sins, then you will attract those people who commit them type of sins. If you're into reading your namaz, if part of your routine is reading your namaz 5 times a day, going to the masjid, traveling in the Madani Khalifa, then you will attract people, like-minded people. Similarly, this story that I just mentioned about the pigeon and the crow, why were they attracted to each other? Because both of them were lame. So again, where do we stand in the society around us? There's a famous Greek physician, and he was going somewhere once. And this person who was insane came and sat next to him and started talking to him. Now the physician, he called upon his servant and he said to him, go and get that medicine. I need to eat that medicine. And the servant looked at his master and said, you know, why do you want that medicine? You can't eat that medicine. He said, no, go and get that medicine. I need it. I need to eat it. And he said, that medicine is for insane people, for people that are mad. And he said, this insane person has sat next to me. If he has sat next to me, then it must be something in me that has attracted him to me. So give me that medicine so I can protect myself. Now, viewers of Malaysia, these stories that were just given to you are there to make us understand that a cleanliness, purity, fragrance and hygiene become part of our nature, then like-minded people will also become close to us. However, if hygiene is not part of our life, if our nature is living in a life of filth, be it outwardly and inwardly, if we're living a life of sin, then you can know that you will attract them sort of people. A person who is, you know, committing, I can name so many sins, and I don't have to name them from you. Let's say one sin, a person who drinks alcohol. Will he attract as a friend an imam of a masjid? Will he be close friends with him? Will they sit together and talk together each day? Yes, the imam will try and pull him out of that pit of sins, but he will never be a close friend of him. That person that drinks alcohol, who will he attract? Other people who drink alcohol. That person who commits one type of sin, he will attract other people types of sins. So whatever, if we are, you know, outwardly dirty as well, then we will also attract like-minded people. So viewers of the channel, we need to make sure that we try to keep ourselves clean. And whenever we eat, you know, something that we do every day, whenever we eat, we should also remember to make the wuzu for eating with good intentions. Yes, viewers of the channel, wuzu for eating. Many of you may have not heard of this. You've only heard the term wuzu when we come to our salah, but there is also wuzu for eating as well. The meaning of wuzu for eating is that one should thoroughly wash their hands and the front part of their mouth. The mouth should be rinsed too, as we use our hands every day to carry our various works, which causes dirt and countless germs to accumulate on our hands. And through the blessings of performing the wuzu of eating, not only will our hands and mouth become clean, but we'll also gain protection from various illness and germs too. You know, it's very interesting, viewers of the channel, nowadays that we're in the middle of this pandemic, and we see, wherever we go, we see these posters up, don't we? Of how to wash your hands, how to clean your hands. And I'm thinking to myself that we were taught this 1400 years ago. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to clean our hands, to make sure that our hands are completely clean and make sure that we go through the inside of our fingers as well, and we do all this. This is 1400 years ago, viewers of the channel. And now everywhere we're saying, oh, be clean, make sure that you don't touch your mouth with your hands until you cleaned your hands. And this was again, was taught to us 1400 years ago by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this wuzu that I mentioned to you, of eating, has also been mentioned in the hadith as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that making wuzu before and after eating removes dependency. And it is from the sunnah of the messengers. All the anbiya of the past, they also used to wash their hands and wash their mouth before they ate and wash afterwards as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also stated, the one who desires that Allah azza wa jalla increase his well-being in his home, he should perform wuzu when food is presented and also when it is taken away. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, performing wuzu before eating is one virtue and performing wuzu after eating is two virtues. Allahu Akbar. If nothing else, viewers of the channel, we get the virtues and the blessings of this as well. But also, again, nowadays in this pandemic, we've been taught about hygiene. This has been taught to us 1400 years ago. So these facts that I'm giving you are not being decided by a scholar today. These were stated by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, wuzu I to wash hands and the front part of the mouth before an eating expands sustenance and keeps shaitan away from you. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the way of attaining blessings in food is to perform wuzu, eye washing both of the hands up to the wrist before it and after it, eye eating the food afterwards. And the summary, viewers of the channel, of these hadiths is that the wudu of eating removes dependency. It is a sunnah of the noble prophets. It increases goodness in one's home. One gains one virtue before eating and two virtues after eating it. And also shaitan is distant from that person. Bear in mind, viewers of the channel, that you hear the term, we mentioned it earlier, and you hear the term wudu. Wudu for eating and wudu for salah is different. This is the wudu of eating that we are talking about. A summary of what Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, he says that in the Torah, it was commanded to wash both hands and rinse the mouth before and after eating. But the mischievous people of that nation altered it and removed the initial washing and kept the washing of the hands after eating. And that's why you see people nowadays that they'll eat and only after they've ate, they'll wash their hands. But it's the sunnah of the Anbiya, it's the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wash your hands before, wash your mouth before and after eating, not just after. Nowadays what happens is people wash their hands after they eat, but we should also wash before. And it's logical, isn't it, viewers of the channel, that all day you've been working, you've been touching your ear, you've been touching your face, you've been touching your clothes, you've been touching whatever you've been touching. You're at work, you're picking things up, you're doing all sorts of things. And then you come home and you eat something with them same hands. Where have them hands been? And again, once again, we're told in this pandemic to make sure you keep on washing your hands, keep on washing your hands. And again, after eating, because your hands now get greasy and get all sorts of things, we wash them as well. And again, this has been taught to us. Washing hands and mouth before and after eating has many medical benefits. Thus, the experts state that the stomach juices mostly enter the body during eating and drinking. Not washing the hands and mouth before eating can result in skin diseases, stomach diseases, and many other ailments. Sometimes other sick people spitting, sneezing, and coughing can cause germs to land on our hands. You know, like you said at the moment, they're saying that this pandemic is spread through people coughing and sneezing. You could be outside, right? You may be wearing a mask. You may be wearing a shield, but someone coughs, someone sneezes, it comes on your hand. You go home, you take your mask off, you take your shield off, the food's in front of you, you start eating it. Them same hands, they weren't covered whilst you were outside. You had the face shield on, you had a mask on, but your hands were not covered. And now them germs are on your hand. And that's why our deen taught us, before any pandemic came along, our deen taught us to wash our hands before we eat. Allahu Akbar. So cleanliness, viewers of Mini Channel, is an excellent habit. Whether we are rich or poor, healthy or sick, cleanliness and hygiene protect a person's honor and dignity in every state. And as we see, that in the same way that Allah Azza wa Jalla has purified us with Iman, at the same time we need to purify ourselves outwardly as well. And our deen has given us these lessons. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he himself was matchless. You know, there's nobody can compare, Allahu Akbar, nobody can compare to the cleanliness and hygiene of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're talking about a time 1400 years ago, when all of the facilities that we have now, we have all these sanitizers and hand washers and this and that creams and all them sort of things. But even today, nobody can match the hygiene and the cleanliness of the beautiful Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is recorded in many books, many books have recorded, that the fragrance would emanate from the blessed body of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his own perspiration, Allahu Akbar, his sweat, the blessed perspiration of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam itself, was a fragrance. Allahu Akbar. It is stated, viewers of Mini Channel, on page 281 and 282 of the book of Mutabat al-Madina entitled Sirat Rasul-e Arabi, that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would comb his blessed beard. He would look in the mirror. He would apply kohl in his eyes before sleeping. He would trim his mustache. He would also trim his blessed hair. And if his blessed hair would spread naturally, then he would split them into two parts by parting them. But he would not especially make efforts to part them. It was due to the purity of his blessed body. Listen to this. It was due to the purity and cleanliness of his blessed body that flies never sat on the blessed body of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, they say flies. Flies are attracted by dirt. Flies never touched the blessed body of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Flies never sat on the blessed clothing of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, states that the beloved Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me and said, "Oh Aisha, wash both of these shawls." So I said, "Oh Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I just washed them yesterday." The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, "Listen to this, viewers of Mini Channel. Are you not aware that clothes make tasbih of Allah Azza wa Jal? And when they become dirty, the tasbih stops. They do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when clothes become dirty, they stop doing the zikr." Allahu Akbar. These aspects of the blessed life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are inviting us to give special attention to cleanliness and hygiene. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 222. Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Indeed, Allah loves the one who repent abundantly and loves those who purify themselves." Moreover, viewers of Mini Channel, the blessed hadith also mention the importance of cleanliness and hygiene in many places. The meaning of purity is vast in Islam. The need of purity in a human life begins at birth and it continues until his death. Therefore, being connected with purity is a protection of life. And disassociation from purity is the fall of life. Observing purity is health, and being heedless of purity is illness. It is for this reason, viewers of Mini Channel, that purity is a word containing vast meanings. And in the sight of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is why he declared cleanliness to be half of Iman. Allahu Akbar. I'm just going to give you some hadiths with regards to cleanliness. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Cleanliness is half of Iman." In another hadith, he said, "Indeed, Islam is a clean and pure religion. So attain purity, for only the one who remains clean will enter paradise." In another hadith, "Attain purity through anything you find. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed the foundation of Islam upon cleanliness, and only those who stay clean will enter paradise." In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, keep what you wear clean and look after your rides. And your outward appearance should be so clean that when you go amongst people, they honor you.
Subhanallah.
Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullah ta'ala states that this hadith indicates to the fact that the one should avoid all such things that people show dislike and disdain towards. The rulers and the scholars should especially avoid them. In another hadith, it is stated that it is necessary upon every Muslim to perform ghusl once in every 7 days in which he washes his head and body. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala states, the meaning of once here is the day of Friday. It means that a person should perform ghusl on Friday in the week so that the body is cleaned as well as the clothes. And so the usul, other Muslims are not harmed in the crowd of Friday prayers. As the head has more dirt, it has been mentioned specifically. Otherwise, it is also included in the water in the body. To gargle, sniff water over the nose and wash the entire body is fard for us. And that's not just on Friday views on the channel. And before, during the day today, I quickly looked about the history of hygiene. And you'll see that, you know, people of the past, even the rich people, even the kings and queens of the past, the really influential, powerful people of the past, that sometimes they would not have a bath for months. For months, yes, for months. Yeah, and it was normal for them to not have a bath for 6 months. And then in households where they used to have these bathtubs, what they used to do is they used to put the water into the bathtub, they used to warm it up and put it into the bathtub. And because it would take a long time to fill the bathtub, because obviously they didn't have the geysers and all the boilers that we have now, what would happen is that the man of the house, he would get in, he would wash himself, and then rather than waste the water, he would get out, and the next person would get in that same dirty water. And then the next person would get in, and then the next person would get in. And there's a saying in English that don't throw the baby out with the dirty water. Because what would happen is the baby being the smallest of the house, that baby would be washed right at the end with whatever water was left over after X number of people had a bath in that. So this gives you an indication, viewers of Money Channel, that how Islam has purified us, how Islam has taught us hygiene, how lucky we are, how fortunate we are. And nowadays, yes, around the world, people are talking about hygiene, talking about cleanliness. But you should be proud. You should be proud, viewers of Money Channel, that Islam taught us. Science is catching up. Science will never catch up with the hikmat that of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wisdom that we were given, the blessings that we were given, the things that we were taught. So we are very, very fortunate if we look. Nowadays what happens is as Muslims we feel slightly inferior. We should never feel inferior, viewers of the channel. You should be proud of who you are. If you look at your deen, look at what rights have been given to certain individuals, and then look at when them rights were given to other individuals from other backgrounds around the world, then you realize how advanced our deen is. If you look at hygiene that we are talking about today, that these sayings that I'm talking about today were mentioned to us 1400 years ago. And now we're talking about hygiene. Now we're talking about that we should wash regularly and we should bathe regularly. Allahu Akbar. Go to the past 100 years ago. The rich people used to bath once a month. Some people only used to bath once every 12 months. Yes, once every 12 months they used to have a bath. In the springtime they would have a bath. And there's so much I can say on this, viewers of Money Channel. Go away and do your own research and you'll realize. Therefore, viewers of Money Channel, keeping our bodies clean, free from impurity, every Muslim should also keep them, the clothes free from dirt as well. One should apply flagon oil to the hair and beard, put ithar on them as well. Do not grade the nails so long that dirt comes underneath the nails. Because this dirt, when it gathers into the stomach, it can give rise to various diseases. You know when you've not cut your nails for a while, and dirt gets under the nails, that dirt there can cause diseases in the stomach. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 10 things are from the natural disposition, i.e. they were commanded in every Sharia. Trimming the mustache, growing the beard, using miswak, placing water into the nose, clipping the nails, washing the joints of the fingers, removing the armpit hairs, cutting the hair below the navel, and performing istinja and rinsing the mouth. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to give you some important points, viewers of Manchal, with regards to that I've mentioned by Sayyidi Ala Hadrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. He's narrated, he says that it is not permitted to grow the nails, the underarm hairs, and the hairs below the navel for more than 40 days. One will be sinful after the 40th day. Doing this occasionally will constitute as a minor sin, and it will become a major sin if it is done as a habit. In another place, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states that growing mustard so much that it goes into the mouth is haram, sin, and the way of the disbelievers. Oh, brothers who are watching Madani channel, we see nowadays that some people, they grow the mustard so long that it actually covers the mouth. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated that growing mustard so much that it goes into the mouth is haram, a sin, and the way of the disbelievers. Therefore, he goes on to say, if possible, one should perform all of these tasks on a Friday, because it is narrated in a hadith that the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would trim his mustache and clip his nails before going for salah on Friday. One should not cut the nails with the teeth. Again, you see people that, you know, they bite the tail. This is makruh, and there's a risk of an illness in which white spots appear on the body. You know, you see these people that have skin problems with white spots. That disease, one of the reasons you can have that disease is when you're biting your nails. Long nails are the sitting place of shaitan. After the hair and nails are cut, then they should be buried. After cutting the nails, the front part of the finger should be washed. Because you know when you cut your nails, then sometimes a little bit of dirt that's normally not visible is there. Yeah, after you cut your nails. So you should wash the front part of your fingers as well. And it is sunnah to pluck the underarm hair, and cutting them is not a sin either. Do not pluck the nose hair. Yeah? Do not pluck the nose hair. Nowadays you see people who have waxing, yeah? They put things on their heads and they wax their hair off their heads, and you see them putting, you know, like sticks up the nose so they can pull out the hair of the nose. This is against Islam. Do not pluck the nose hair, as there's a fear of aqila arising from this. It is stated that this illness that I mentioned, aqila, refers to the boil that appears on a person's side, which causes the skin to rot and fall. Views of my channel, similarly, tying the imamah is the blessed sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you tie this imamah, the reward of him worshipping increases many times. Remember, a person can only appear dignified by tying the imamah if it is neat and clear. If otherwise, if it is unclean, then it can also become a means of dislike. You know, you see people, alhamdulillah, when they put the imamah on, they look so beautiful. It looks like a crown on the head. Why does it look like a crown on the head? Because it is a crown. It is a crown of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would wear it. But if that same imamah is not put on tidily, if that same imamah is dirty, then rather than people respecting and want to follow that sunnah, remember this view, in any sunnah, we should not follow any sunnah in such a way that if people see it, they don't want to perform it. We should perform the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way that when people see us doing it, if people see us doing it, then you know what, that's so good, I should do that. Whether they know it's a sunnah or not, that should appeal to them. Because every aspect about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is appealing to us. So we should do it in such a way that it appeals to us. In the same way, viewers and we've talked a little bit about having our clothes clean. We've talked a little bit about having our own clean. But what about the rubbish in our house? What about taking the rubbish out? You know, here in the UK, you see that behind people's houses, they have back streets where the bins are up. And people throw rubbish out there. Stays there for days and weeks. The councils come along and take a certain amount of rubbish. All the excess rubbish is left there that we've thrown out. We've made a mess in our own back streets. We've made a mess in front of our houses. And we don't care, because we're inside our house. Our doors are closed. We don't care what's happening outside. But as a result of that, other diseases spread. Rats come, mice come, all sorts of diseases spread because you cannot be bothered to take care of your rubbish. Not only that, it becomes a fire hazard as well. And by people leaving rubbish lying around, people set fire to this. Yes, people do set fire to the rubbish. And again, people can be injured and harmed. And there have been cases where people have actually lost their lives, where people have set fire to rubbish as well. So we need to take care of this as well. So we need to, viewers on the channel, keep our clothes clean, keep our bodies clean, keep our environment clean as well. Remember, the person who does not fulfill his responsibility is guilty. However, it is our responsibility to prevent such accidents from taking place also. Not only should we keep ourselves clean, but we should also make efforts to keep our home, shop, locality, and city clean as well. This is our responsibility. Views of the channel. So far, we've talked about outward cleanliness. And the cleanliness of the outward body is the clothing has its own importance. However, the rectification and the purification of the heart is also very important as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware, there is a piece of flesh in the body. When it becomes sound, then the entire body becomes sound. And when it becomes corrupt, the entire body becomes corrupt. Where? It is the heart. Hakim al-Ummat Mufti Ahmadiyya Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states that the following under this hadith, he said, meaning the heart is the king and the body are its subject. Allah. Just as the king becomes rectified, he causes the entire country to be rectified. Likewise, the heart becoming sound causes the entire body to become sound. Allah. The heart intends something and the body attempts to act upon it. And this is why the Sufi Ikram, they would put great importance on the rectification of the heart. Imam Muhammad Ghazali, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, states, outward actions have special connection with internal attributes. If the inner is spoilt, then the apparent actions would also get spoilt. If the inner is free from jealousy, ostentation, arrogance, and other defects, then the apparent actions will also be sound as well. So all of these illnesses of our heart, if you can purify that, then that will be reflected outside. I cannot see your heart, you cannot see my heart. But as a result of my actions, as a result of how I live my life, as a result of how I deal with people, you will be able to judge what kind of a heart my person is. Why is it we say to people, oh, he's got a good heart? How do we know he's got a good heart? We've never seen his heart. Oh, he's got a bad heart. How do you know you've never seen his heart? Why? It's because of his actions, because of the way he lives his life. Internal sins are usually connected with the heart. Therefore, it is very important that the rectification of heart also takes a priority in our lives. In another place, Imam Muhammad Ghazali Ramutullah states that what needs the most protection and supervision is the heart. For it's the essence of the entire body. It is for this reason that if your heart becomes ruined, then all of your limbs will become ruined. And if you rectify it, then the rest of the limbs will be rectified themselves. This is because the heart is like a trunk of a tree, and the rest of the limbs are like the branches. And the soundness or corruption of the branches is dependent upon the trunk. If your eyes, tongue, stomach, etc. are sound, then it means that your heart is sound. And if all these limbs are inclined towards sin, then consider your heart to be corrupt as well. Then you should believe that the heart being corrupt is a very severe matter as well. So give full attention towards the rectification of your heart, so that all of the rims are rectified and you perceive a spiritual tranquility. The rectification of the heart is extremely difficult. It's not easy, as its corruption is linked to whims and whispers which are beyond the control of a person. That is why its rectification entails full consciousness, alert, and great struggle. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, you know, so today we've talked a little bit about our outwardly cleanliness, about our physical hygiene, about our personal hygiene. We've also talked about the importance of our clothes, how they need to be clean as well. We've talked about our beard, it needs to be nice and clean and combed as well, how the imama needs to be clean and tied as well. But at the same time, our surroundings. And our surroundings are not just, you know, this room that we are sat in today. No. My surroundings are wherever I go. My surroundings are my transport, my car. How clean is my car? How clean is my house? How clean is the front garden, the backyard, the back street? How clean are my surroundings? But at the same time, how clean is my heart? Now, when it comes to cleanliness that I just mentioned before, personal hygiene and all these, we can look at them and we can judge it. We can see that how clean I am. I can look and see how clean my clothes are. I can look and see how clean my house is. I can look and see how clean my car is. But when it comes to the heart, that's what we need to sit and ponder and think to ourselves. How clean is my heart? And the examples I'll give to you is I'm going to tell, well, we need to look at ourselves. Look at our actions. Look at our actions and reflect and think to ourselves. That who am I attracting? Like I said earlier on, that you are attracted to like-minded people. If your heart is clean, if your heart is pure, then you will attract like-minded, pure and clean people. But if your heart is inclined towards sin, then you will attract them people. So ask yourself, if you want to judge the status of your heart, if you want to judge what is happening inside you, you can't pull your heart out and look at it, and even if you could, you won't be able to tell. If you want to judge the status of your heart from a spiritual point of view, look around you. Who are the people that I associate with? Who are the people that I talk to on a daily basis? Who are the people that I send messages to on a daily basis? What is their background? Are they pious people? Are they God-fearing people? Or? And I leave the or up to you. You need to decide. And until we can realize where we are, you know, they say that until to make a change in society, you need to get, they say that you need to make a snap of the society, you know, a snap picture of the society. You need to take a picture of the society and say, that's the status of the society now. What do we do? If you want to make a change in yourself, you need to take a picture of yourself and say, this is where I am now. I'm here. And this is where I want to get. How do we need to get there? Dalai Islam is here to help you, to teach you, to empower you, to teach you how to purify yourself, not only externally, but internally as well. Amir Islam has wrote booklets on how to purify your clothes. Amir Islam has wrote booklets on how to perform wuzu, how to perform ghusl. All of these have been taught to us. And then many, many books Amir Islam has written on how to purify our hearts, how to have that content inside us. And another way of judging the state of your heart is that when you pray, first and foremost, do you pray? That's the next question, isn't it? When you pray, when you worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, what do you feel? Do you feel content? Do you feel that comfort in your heart? Or is it just a burden upon you that I want to get it done, I want to get out of here as soon as possible? And again, you need to ask yourself, why? Why is namaz such a thing that I want to read it and get away from the jahr namaz as quickly as possible? Why is it a burden that I want to get out of the masjid as soon as possible? Why is it I'm more concerned about how many messages I've got on my phone by the end of my namaz and I want to check them as soon as possible? Why? Ask yourself, and then you will realize where you are. And until we realize where we are, we cannot make a change. So viewers of the channel, please, I hope and I pray that we've learned something today. And I hope that we've not just listened to some hadiths and thought, wow, brilliant, nice, sounds good to me. Yes, alhamdulillah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this 1400 years ago. Brilliant, yes, great. No, make a change. Make a change. Make a change in ourselves. Not only outwardly, but inwardly as well. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that first and foremost, I learn from what we have said today. We also learn from what we have said today and we pass it on to others as well. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say success.